Vengeance and Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, looking forward to tag teaming on to last session here where the videos are running together. And I've got some wonderful thoughts for you today about God's wonderful grace. Now, let me throw this out to you, and we'll touch on it on another time, but I still want to get it out there to you. When you're looking for God's grace, remember over and I'll go to the chapter where I'm talking. You remember now, God will show you the negativity of the world. We touched on that just a little bit in this last session where Jesus, when he was talking about, if you're really wanting to have a relationship with my Father like I do, and you're willing to listen to me, the next thing he said is, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me. So notice the first thing he did was he went to the negativity. You'll see this right here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Notice he went to the negativity. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, notice what it's talking about. It says right there that he's teaching us. He's not only teaching us to see him and the positive, wonderful authority and peace and love and healing and the beauty of what he's created that makes your heart just so like a bedrock down into Christ where you're just not moved. You know, the song, I shall not be moved. Yes, he does. That is so much him. But he's also going to show you the nonsense of the world where you could be choosing to live. Do you know that people live in drama constantly because some people don't even know what life would be like without drama? Folks, as we just get into a couple more thoughts here, I just want you to know that watch for God to show you ridiculous stuff. People swimming in drama, that's just as much grace. Be careful when I say this, but watch, he might even show you someone who doesn't get an answer, but they know every scripture. And they always like to make sure they're the first one to tell their scripture, but they can't get that scripture to work. You say, what's that about? That's grace. Why would that be grace, you say? Because God's protecting you from you turning out like that. I'm going to let you think about that for a second. I said, God's protecting you so that you don't turn out like that. If you hang around that, you'll end up becoming pompous and you'll end up preaching to everybody and sharing all your testimony, all your scriptures that you've learned, but you still can't get a testimony or an answer to prayer. And that's wrong. A relationship with God is all about experience. Just like a relationship with a husband or wife is all about what? The experience. You don't walk around with your marriage license showing everybody that you're married, but you actually have no testimony because you don't live in the same house and you never talk to your spouse. Just the opposite. You don't even need that marriage license because the two of you hang out together. It's legal. Now, I'm not insinuating you don't need the word of God. Thank God for the word of God. It is, praise the Lord, our bread, and we hold on to it. We read it. We become very established in it, where we have good doctrine and soundness of mind through the word, and it becomes your encouragement to go out there and have what others had in the Bible, to duplicate the ministry of Jesus, to walk like the disciples did, to see what happens when they began to step out and how they counteracted the things that the Pharisees did or that the people did. And you begin to learn things and you begin to have insight. Thank God we have the Bible. It's the first miracle. But God never meant you to have your nose in the Bible and miss him. He meant you to have a relationship with him. Amen. Glory. I tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be looking at a Bible sitting on a throne. Adam and Eve, when they were birthed and breathed, Adam was breathed into a body. Eve was breathed into a body and their bodies awakened and their eyes could see. The first thing they saw was not a Bible in the garden. It was God. He is plan A. Always come back to God. Hallelujah. Experiencing him. Well, some of you may think I got off a little bit, but I didn't get off at all. That's exactly where we need to be. getting answers to our prayers. So we're going to go right to our scripture. We'll take another 5, 6, 7 minutes to share some more thoughts. Matthew 11, 27 to 30. Jesus resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, or the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What an invitation. Now, look at some of the verses that I have, because I want to bring out a particular point here. And that is 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. It says, and we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Notice here the word that seems to keep repeating itself, which is sufficiency. And where is your sufficiency? It's not in yourself, it is in God, and that is grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. These are some great scriptures, have been used greatly, obviously, for financial things. God's method of helping you to increase financially. But in these thoughts is the very thoughts of grace itself, that God is supplying to you and his grace is toward you. Open up your eyes and ears and experience it, because the sufficiency of which you walk and you experience and you work with God and see the miraculous, it is all of God and not of you. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11, it says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy and reckless abandon. This is the message of what we just read. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for the meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God. Wealthy in every way, so you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Doesn't this sound like there is an abundance of everything of God, from God, and then to you, where we should be experiencing the blessings of God continually? I love these scriptures because it places all the onus on him being such a generous giver, and the supply and the sufficiency of your life being in God. Well, you know, you look up some of these words, sufficiency, and it means ability or competency to do a thing. Not that we are fit, qualified, and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or to claim or to account anything as coming from ourselves, but our power and ability and sufficiency are from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5 in the Amplified. I look a little further in some other translations for sufficiency. It means to make sufficient, to render fit. It sounds a little bit like John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Oh, I just want to get this point across to you right here. Stay with me for another minute. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, where Paul's talking about the grace of God in the midst of the trials that he was going through, how that he was at first fighting against the trials, questioning why God wasn't doing something. And then when he finally got quiet enough to hear God, God began to reveal to him how much of God's grace was available to him to sail right through it, come out on the other end victorious. Three times I did that, and then he told me. In other words, three times he called on God to release him from the trials. God said, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, Paul said, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. Oh my goodness, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Come on, we got just a couple more seconds. The moment you put all of your focus upon the trouble, you're actually making the trouble gain power or have ability beyond what it actually has. Do you know cancer has no power? Only if you'll accept it. And people are accepting it every day. That's why it looks like it actually has power. Do you know the crisis of life doesn't have as much power as you think? God Almighty to Moses said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Who has the choice but you? You have the choice. See, life and death, blessing and cursing don't have the choice. What Paul is saying right here is if you look at a problem and focus on the problem, you give that problem ability. It's kind of like someone said, oh, we need everybody to pray. We need 1,000 people to pray. Well, what you're saying is that this problem is so big, it's beyond Jesus and you. So now you need 1,000 more people with Jesus in them. And all you've done is you've magnified the problem. It's like building a brick wall in front of Jesus and putting up hands in front of his face and saying, right now, I don't need you. I'm busy trying to solve this myself. Paul right here went on to say, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. You already know, and so do I, our weaknesses. Why do we have to focus on? Just focus on the strength of Christ, and your weakness will literally go away in his strength. It's the same thing that happens as far as the miracle power of God to heal your body. Absolutely. He said, now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Did you hear that? The weaker I get, the stronger I become. I want to tell you this morning, I woke up and we did move and we're in a home that actually looks towards the mountains. And I just can't but help to tell you a little scenery grace story of just looking at the mountains and seeing the white peaks where the snow has begun to fall in the mountains. Looking at them, all it does is cause your heart to just realize, God, you made those mountains as majestic as they are. You said a little tiny speck of faith would remove them. How minuscule the trouble is in my life. Thank you for the answer. And the grace of God just goes to work. Look at what Paul said. I just let Christ take over. Do you know the more relaxed you become seeing Jesus, the less you try, the more you enjoy watching God finish what he started. Wow, this has been really good. Wonderful time. I trust you enjoyed it. We'll get back with you again. Watch every Tuesday and every Friday. You go to YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace. Subscribe or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. We want to hear your grace stories. It could be the simplest little thing. I know one time someone said, well, okay, I've seen the flowers and I've seen the birds and now I'm ready for my body to be healed. What's the deal? And I said, well, I guess you didn't get it because there's nothing about your body being healed that's any more difficult than you being able to see the flowers and see the birds and be able to say, Jesus, that's you. Just relax. Let him heal your body. He knows what he's doing. Been doing it a long time. By his grace, he's able to swallow up our weakness. And since we just let him, all of a sudden we go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, share your grace stories, or just go to Jim Hockaday Ministry or jimhockaday.com, which is our website, and you can find that email. Make sure you let us know. Tell people about what you're learning. Let them know they can learn it too. See you next time.